What a system of class, of ever-increasing disparities, means for the non-human portion of the earth, resources so squeezed, is polluted lakes and waterways, oceans dying, species loss, the end of biodiversity, us struggling to breathe, concrete crumbling, i.e., a lot of costs have built up just as the earth has come calling with her check. And we are saying, to hell with this. All we're getting out of this tacit agreement is derailed lives, sacrificed dreams, and early deaths. We want to live, and live well, to follow our hearts, fulfill our dreams while we're here on the planet. We want to help each other, not be pushed in each other's faces to fight for scraps like roosters in a cockfight, forced to provide the entertainment for a veiled form of fascism. So what this means for human beings is ever-increasing global misery, as accumulation ever-increasing means growing disparities, increasing inequality. The statesmen use stratums of the middle classes to manage, quote-unquote, the extraction from the rest, automate mundane and repetitive tasks, and once that's done, help move more and more of us superfluous to the same fate as those who built Auschwitz. Isn't it time we convened our global day of celebrating Prince and organized together our future freedom? We all want this. Those 10,000 guys will get over losing their crowns quick as soon as they see nobody's behind them. Usually, articles published in the mainstream media to supposedly educate us about the economy and explain, quote unquote, why we drop out of the labor market, emphasize our so-called skills deficits, that is, utilize the class age-old hoax of blaming us for not having what the market or the economy wants. Quote, the problem, at least for now, is not that there isn't enough work. There is, but it's very different from the kind of work technology is displacing. Manufacturing and warehousing jobs are shrinking, while jobs that provide services, health care, child care, elder care, education, food, are growing. We are far from the end of work, says Mr. Eric Brynjolfsson, but face a big challenge redeploying people toward addressing our society's very real needs. And that's unquote from Mr. Eric Brynjolfsson, who is one of the founders of MIT's initiative on the digital as in invisible, economy. He advocates, among other things, federally guaranteed student loans for non-traditional programs like online certificates or coding boot camps. And continuing with the article, one idea is for the government to subsidize private employment or even volunteer jobs. Unquote from the article, How to Help Humans When the Robots Come to Take Our Jobs, by Claire Kane Miller in the New York Times of March 8, 2017. And there's so much objectionable in even just that brief quote. The arrogance, it just drips with hubris, this notion of them deciding how to deploy our human energy, makes your skin crawl. Where these bloated heads come from, we would not grasp without Alice. When the power-fed media tell us that there is a mismatch between available jobs and the people available or willing to take those jobs, they're talking about the falling rate of profit. Notice that those jobs he mentioned that are where they want to redeploy us to, you know, growing the food, harvesting the food, taking care of the elders. All these service jobs are, of course, the lowest paying jobs, and they can only get folk to take these lowest paying jobs and they can only feed people in jobs if those who provide the critical services for people to actually exist are ground down to the barest minimum existence possible given the, as perhaps Marx would say, the level of culture existing in the broader society. They will go as low as they are permitted by the lack of resistance from us. Well, we're tired of this little dance. We don't want to dance with these guys no more. We want to live for ourselves, helping each other without force, period. How else are we going to develop our own thinking and become big human beings? So they're talking about the falling rate of profit. Recall that in our May 3rd, 2015 show, we excerpted from Roman Rozdalski's The Making of Marxist Capital, in which he quotes Marx, "The capitalist mode of production develops, and an ever larger quantity of capital, earth ultimately, is required to employ the same amount of labor power, us." And that's also earth ultimately. Now, if you are a misanthrope, that large quantity of capital, automation, is part of what he's talking about. It doesn't need very many of us. What do you suppose a misanthrope will conclude with these ratios? What do we imagine is powers, the global state statesmen's, the Plato's tribesmen's ultimate solution, quote unquote, to this problem, quote unquote? As we watch them unleash their prepped and eager to see action, modernized fascists in almost every nation state, or supporting, in some, already in place autocrats, calling them populists to once again plant the seed that it is we the people responsible for this, they hope, triumph of ignorance. Unleashed fascists mean an attempt to rope us more tightly into nation state boxes with stricter supervision in the form of good or bad daddies, depending on who's been naughty or nice. The falling rate of profit is the last chapter of capitalism, the econ con. And as capitalism closes, a rewritten standard is being brushed off and updated. Fascism is you. The opening of the world geopolity era of the totalitarian class system, with the global heads working even more closely together to get past this unprecedented threat for them, us, waking up. So we have a choice. We can either wait and see what these God wannabes come up with as fate for us, or we can say enough. Enough of this. We're tired of being subject to the whims of self-deluding global state fascists.